Welcome back on G&D, on site on a Friday field trip. It's a football Friday on the Fan. Commanders, Panthers coming your way on Sunday at Northwest Stadium. Smoothie, that's just how we've always said it, right? The Commanders playing at Northwest Stadium.
You know what? I tried to name it the Fed House to give it some, you know, some feel. You know, maybe somebody would be like, yeah, man, I got to take you to the Fed House. You probably would be kind of afraid, right?
I don't want to go to the Fed House.
That's what I'm talking about. And right now, nobody else wants to come to the Fed House. And I ain't just talking about you, Danny, because I know how you
that's
rock.
That's a good thing.
But guess what, Danny? I'm not going to stop.
I know you're not.
You told me if I can get a dragon to drop you off, I had a chance. And I think I might got something. I think I might found something.
You found it. Spanky's Shenanigans.
He's got Meraxes dropping me off.
If you're in the Leesburg area, come on out and kick it. There's a lot of Commanders fans getting ready for Week 7 football. We got Fred Smoot hanging with us today on The Fan. So let's just start with the matchup. We'll go through a bunch of different avenues of this game, but I have not been this confident going into a game that Washington's just going to be better than the opponent and bully them a little bit.
Does that scare you, Grant?
Not that much.
You should be like right now, like it's new everything. I see if like one element changed, but with everything changing, it's new feelings. Yeah. And when I talk to the fans in my postgame show, they want to celebrate, but they're afraid to.
There's nervousness. Like,
let the past go. We don't even got the old name. It's nothing from the past that we have besides the guys that still here and that cheer for the team, the older guys, it's alumni weekend. Daryl, you know, going through here. Like, this whole weekend revolves around Daryl. He's getting the key to the city tomorrow. All right. And he's actually getting his number retired, so nobody ever wear 28 again. That means it's immortalized. Like, unless he has, like, a great-grandson that Dale Green the third of his name, that says, you know what, granddad would have wanted me to wear this number.
But to Grant's point, though, about this kind of the feeling and the vibe.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be improved coming into the year, right? Like, whether they won a bunch of games or not, I'm going, there's a legit page turn the tap, to your point, Smoody.
Yeah.
But the fact that they're this proficient and able to blow the doors off of teams that aren't particularly good, there's the departure. Not a one-off, but like for weeks of it, competing with the best, destroying the worst. Now all of a sudden it really feels like it's not just lip service that it's different. It's different.
Well, it's different because people don't value coaching. Like when it comes to athletic pro teams, the talent level varies just the scales from great guy to monster, from great guy to serviceable guy to a guy that's trying to get there. It's not that far apart. But the well-coached teams dominate. And they don't dominate because they're better athletes. They dominate because they're, one, they're better prepared, their scheme is better, and they got a couple of weapons that you cannot account for. All right, well, that's what we have right now. We have that wild dragon that people are finding out, how can I tame him or slow him down? Well, it's very Lamarish in the way you have to go about slowing him down, but he's showing you with his week in and week out. You're gonna have to figure out another way to get that plan done also.
Jaden Daniels has been incredible.
Yeah.
That's your wild dragon you're referencing.
That is.
For those of you that didn't follow, that was the wild
dragon.
That's
the wild dragon.
Yes. Fred Smoot on G&D. I think a lot of people keep going, well, what happens when there's an adjustment? What happens when someone keeps him in the pocket? He passes every test. When, like, the Ravens basically said, you're not going to run.
Yeah.
Three design runs for 3 yards.
Yeah.
I scrambled three times, but it wasn't, like, crazy for 19 yards.
Yeah.
I know they didn't win the game, but it's not because he didn't play well.
No, it's not.
From the pocket, he kind of sliced them up.
Yeah, he did. Ain't no kind of. You believe what you see. Nobody wants to believe what you see. You just said it. Every test that's been put in front of him thus far, he has passed. Do we think that setback is coming where he's going to have a game that he doesn't look good? He's human. But this first, I guess you want to say, quarter of the year, he's been kind of superhuman in his numbers in the way he's gone about making this happen. Not saying he's throwing for 300 every game. He's doing one thing that we hate. He's not counting numbers. He's counting wins. They're my different quarterbacks. That means I can beat you in three different ways. It's only a couple of quarterbacks that can do that. And there go Josh Allen. There go Patrick Mahomes. There go Lamar Jackson. That means they're three, like,
what's the three? Running, passing?
From the pocket, I can beat you. I can beat you with my legs. The third thing of that is I'm extending to throw.
Yeah.
I'm extending to break coverages. When you extend the pocket, and let's just say we in zone, cover 4, the more seconds he have, the more that stretches it. The more you stretch it, the more you're going to find holes to throw it into. All right, then you go man-to-man. Now we go into the first route, second route, third route. Now we're talking about things that's indefensible.
Well, also, to your point, no one really plays man against them.
No, you can't.
You can't, right?
You can't.
That's what I'm going
to
ask
like,
you.
Like, listen to me. When we played Michael Vick, the corners are always mad because no more man-to-man. Nothing that turns our back to the quarterback, because the last thing you want him to do is come running beside me while I'm chasing the wide receiver.
Yeah.
You don't want that. So they want all 11 of us to literally look at him at all times, which to me paralyzes the defense. Now we can only zone blitz, and now we can play what? Cover two? Cover four? But we kind of paralyzed, like, to what we can play unless we got a freakish guy like a Kyle Hamilton that we can move around, Troy Polamalu, Sean Taylor, that you got to play where is he. Now we can match somebody up to you, but it ain't much you can do.
Fred Spoot with us here live on the scene in Leesburg for our Friday field trip series. Spanky Shenanigans here in Leesburg with a whole bunch of folks hanging out. So I wanted to get into that, but I have two questions. The first is, What would people usually do at the beginning of practice, before you practice?
Yeah.
It's like where you get your muscles loose. What's that word? What do you call it?
You want me to say it.
Where your muscles are tight, but you have to do what to
them? I'm not going to let you do it.
What do you do then?
Because you know, Danny, don't you do it.
Blank Armstrong.
Hey, what you saw me. Look at
I knew it. I knew it. Because you know I try to stay away from those words. I'm not going to let you do it.
Which kind of word?
Relax my muscles and make them expendable and flexible so they cannot tear.
Through the act of.
What's the verb? How do you do that? You scratch.
No, I'm not doing it.
You scratch.
I'm not giving Danny what he wants.
What's the word?
I'm not going to give Danny what he wants.
I don't know how often you hear this, but there is a word you still, every time you say it, you call it.
I do it because it's a smoothism.
What is it?
It's not. I'm not frustrated. I'm frustrated.
No. It's also a snippet.
The snippet.
Snippet.
The snippet.
Yeah,
the snippet. That's a snippet to the layperson, by the way.
It's not
some deviant term that you have to look up that your kids are using. Yeah. It's just Fred's way of saying a snippet, like a small thing. That's number one. But number two, I want you to go into what. So the back to the actual football, matters of football.
Yeah.
I was fascinated by the idea of you limit the defense, and I feel like Washington hasn't had an offense in so long where defenses have to go, you know what? This section of the playbook, we're not even bothering with it because we can't because of the challenges the quarterback presents.
They're dictating.
Yeah. What are you seeing the last couple of weeks?
Yeah.
That teams are going to maybe try to replicate.
Yeah.
And then some counters there.
Well, you got to realize the only reason the Ravens could do what they did because they practiced.
Is it Hamilton?
No, they practice against it every day.
Uh huh.
When you see Lamar every day, and when you scrimmage against Lamar all the time, if anybody gonna know how to contain a running quarterback, it's gonna be the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
So now you flip the page. Of course, it's a copycat league, but I don't feel like they stopped him. Like what they just showed you in Baltimore is how do he? You want him to hurt you? Do you want him to hurt you with his arm? Or do you want him to hurt you with his feet? Are you just gonna try to mix in and sneak on them three or four plays and see can you sneak that blitz in there? And if he hurts you, he hurts you. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But when the offense dictates the pace of us, that means not only are we trying to play bend but don't break, they stop us from attacking the way we would usually attack a quarterback.
And the no huddle element too.
Almost
60%.
Yeah.
What is that doing?
Well, here's what no huddle does. When we get into the 2-minute offense, that's our natural offense, is the no huddle. So if you notice, we're scoring before the half and we're scoring in a quarter and we're scoring at the end of the game because that's his natural offense, is to speed it up. Now, when you speed it up, we can only have one or two checks. All right, once you learn those one or two checks, you got to go into the halftime and change those checks. All right, well, guess what? He's going to learn those checks too. So it makes you very limited, but it also makes you, how should I say, you can't run your D lineman in and off the field. So it slows your pass rush, especially if we're going to push you to third down. Now this is a 10-play drive. That hurts you.
Let's talk corner play for a second.
Yeah.
The secondary is a problem. The defense is not going to be a strength.
Now, remember I came on the show at the beginning of the season, and all three of us debated about the offensive line being a weakness, which I said, no, it's not.
Smoothie, she's walking around with drinks. Do you need anything? You good?
I'm good right now.
Okay.
I'm my best behavior. It's Friday football. You know,
it's a field trip.
I like to enjoy
it's
myself.
It's a business day.
Yeah, I like to go watch my son on his day.
I want to ask you about your son.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
But back to the point at hand.
Yeah.
So the secondary, the defense, I think there's a ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping they continue to improve. I think they will with Dan Quinn, and with Joe Witt. But the point I've been making all week is I actually think Benjamin St. Juste is a lot better than he gets credit for.
Yeah, he is.
I think he's a solid corner two, probably, who's being asked to be a corner one. I think there's matchups where he's going to be very solid.
Yeah, get a bigger physical, what, maul you a little bit?
He can use his length.
Give me that, yeah.
Save Flowers on an island because you're stacking the box. There's not that many big corners that are going to do that well in that situation.
No, we don't.
He's getting killed by the fan base. No. I think he's fine.
Well, guess what? As a cornerback, that's your life getting killed by the fan base. Like, they love you one day, they hate you the next. You Jim Thorpe one day, you Thorpe Jim the next. Like, they want you out of here.
Who's Thorpe Jim?
The guy nobody knows.
His evil twin. Yeah.
But it's one of them, like, here goes the thing about St. Juste. St. Juste is what you call a notifier. He'll notify. He'll stay in between wide receiver, quarterback, PBUs, forced fumbles. That's how I get my turnovers. All right, then you got guys that retrieve the ball, guys that turn the ball over. All right, and that's what Witt loves. If you look at his thing, he loves guys that can turn the ball over. But then DQ also loves guys with length. That's where St. Juste comes in at. And you're right about this. Tall corners don't do well with short wide receivers. It's hard. One thing, they hard to put their hands on. Second, you can lose them. They're jitterbugs. Right, they become harder to bring down to the ground. I think that's what made T.O. so good. As a big receiver, he ran like a small receiver. So it's all about the guys that can get yacked. When you got a guy that can get yacked, I would have rather see Sandra Steele match up with Zay Flowers while he's looking him right in the eye. And I'm not finna lose sight of you. I can break your leg in a phone booth. So quickness is what I want against a guy like that.
What do you think of Sandra Steele so far?
I'm loving what Sandra Steele brings. Man, you know what? He reminds me of this group of DBs that I have. I have put these guys together, and I call them the guys. I call them football magnets. And think of Dre Bly. Think of D'Angelo Hall. Think of Rondae Barber. Think of, like, the ball finds these guys. I was literally walking in the grocery store with D'Angelo Hall. A ball fell off the shelf. All right, listen to me.
And he caught it.
Yeah, he did. All right, so the ball finds these guys sometime. And I think he's going to be that type of guy. Like, what shocked me is how well he's been playing outside. Because I know how hard
that
is
to be. He's a nickel, you would think. And no, they just bumped him outside because they need to, and he's been good.
No, he's saying I'm more than a nickel. Like, if Nick Saban say, hey, pound for pound, best player this year, that should tell you everything you need to know. And he's one of those guys, he's a sponge. Like, he had just literally got drafted. He literally hit me in my IG, like, the next morning. Like, just, I was like, now, that's a dude's
dude.
Oh,
no way,
right,
for
there.
Advice, yeah. Or to get together?
Introduce himself, advice, and I told him, I'm in the building all the time. Time he got there. Sit, talk, chat, pick my brain. That's what type guy he is. But that's what type guys they got. All of these kids they get now, brainiac.
Well, Sandra's still more physical than I thought. I mean, I know he made, obviously, at Michigan, okay, at the college level, he's going to scrap a little bit. But here, I mean, think of some of the breakups he's had close to the line of scrimmage, asked to tackle.
Yeah.
Like, a couple times, Derrick Henry on the outside, and there he is right there, first man in. Pretty impressive.
Hey, Jim Harbaugh guy. Hey, Jim Harbaugh guy, football guy. Harbaugh had a heart attack and came back to the game. And, like, some people love the game, and I think Sandra Steele loves the game. And you can tell that he's a studier because I'm one of the corners that love when people threw screens my way because I used to always tackle him in the backfield. That means he's studying. All right? That means he's taking what he's studying and he's taking it to the field. And sometimes that's what separates rookie from vets. Sometimes the rookies can't not study and take that same information to the field.
The last time this team was 5-2, Smoot,
yeah,
you were on it.
All right.
2008.
So we did do some good. So we did do some. Oh, hey. It turned out bad.
The start was great.
It turned out bad.
Before you go sticking your flag in the ground, I'd like to remind you there was no postseason that year, Fred.
Yeah.
Okay, but 2008, you guys went 6-2.
I remember. Was this Zorn?
That was Zorn.
Yeah.
So here's what I'm asking. This is very different. You didn't have Jaden Daniels, right?
Yeah.
And it was not year one of a – I guess it was year one of a coaching staff.
It was.
Did you guys at that time, like, think we're coming together, we're really good, this is the beginning of something? Or did you kind of know, I don't know how long this is going to last?
We were like, you know what? We're very talented. We're very talented. How long can we win off talent? Like, it's going to catch up with you.
About 8 weeks, I think.
Like, what did I tell you is separating this team now? Great coaching.
Did you know, though, at that time, Zorn was not a great coach?
Well, first of all, to save Zorn, he did not ask to be our head coach. They signed him as an offensive coordinator when we didn't have a head coach, and then all the head coaches around the league were like, no, you're not going to pick my offensive coordinator for me. So then, you know, we came to work one day, and Coach Zorn, he was shaking everybody's hand, saying, I'm your new head coach. And I was like, okay, that works. All right, that works.
That's totally normal.
Yeah, we'll do what we got to do. You know, it's just one of those things. He was put in a situation he wasn't ready for because he was just really getting his thing going as an offensive coordinator. That's why everybody wanted him. He wasn't ready to lead men. He wasn't ready to do that.
We're going to get you some blackened shrimp.
Oh,
I need you to eat some shrimp.
I'm going shrimp po' boy because I'm from Mississippi. It's a difference. See, you got to have the warm bread, nice sauce on there, crunch. It's totally different.
You're not going to get me to run down a po' boy. Yeah. What I'm telling you is, what about a side of shrimp? Anything can be a side if you want it to be.
I'm going to say, my cousin, Big Al, he likes to talk about sides of entrees. You know this fat boy talk right there.
You know it right here.
Hey, like, look at your company.
No, I'm just saying because I'd go with him somewhere. He'd be like, yeah, let me get a whole chicken and let me get a side of bacon. I'm like, well, are you serious? Like, what are you doing?
I was at the Italian store more than a decade ago, and I said, can I get a side of pizza? And the guy, and this poor kid was bewildered.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, sir, we don't really do that. I was like, just give me a slice of pizza to go.
Yeah.
It's a side because it's on the side of
what,
my sandwich.
Okay, if a pizza is a side, what's the main?
Exactly.
Well, when Danny and I order – so here's what we do. At the station, if we order pizza, we're like, let's get a pizza.
Yeah.
We order a sandwich from the pizza place. So it'll be like a
– appetizer.
No. The main is the meatball sub.
Okay.
Or the chicken parm sub.
Or the Italian.
Nice.
Or whatever,
the side is the slices of pizza.
It's a side of pizza, Smoothie.
I got a couple of words. Gluttonous. Calories. Did you know they invented this other word called gluten? Huh?
Yeah.
Don't do it to yourself, fellas.
Oh, it's already been done.
No. I can say this about you,
it's
Danny.
It's over.
Danny, you trimming up, man.
I'm trying to.
I don't know if it's the pickleball or what's going on.
He plays pickleball 4 days a week.
And
he plays pickup basketball twice.
I heard you wear like a knee brace. And
all of it. It's like sausage casing. I got to keep everything in.
So you're the dirty old man at the courts.
That's me.
Oh, he's sweaty.
Yes.
Disgusting.
That fouls everybody.
Nobody wants to check me.
Just leans on everybody at the YMCA. Yeah. You that dude?
That's me. Philip Seymour Hoffman and Juan Payne Pauly. That's me.
Fred Smoot's hanging out. There is a reporter who's got Jaden Daniels as his number one quarterback in the NFL after week six. We'll catch up with him next right here on Grant and Danny. In Leesburg for our Friday field trip at Spanky Shenanigans. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your weekend. Means a lot. We appreciate it. We're getting ready for football in week seven. The Commanders trying to get to 5-2. And the biggest reason why is their quarterback, Jaden Daniels, who they drafted number two overall, who has played not only like a veteran, but like an elite player through six games. In fact, there are people around the NFL at this point covering the league who think he's been one of the best quarterbacks in football. But I have seen just one place so far where he has been ranked the number one quarterback in the NFL based on how he's played this year. And that is the 33rd team's Dan Pizzuto, who joins us now on G&D Football Outsiders Almanac as well through the years. A very smart football gentleman. And a guy who's going to be very popular in Washington, D.C. right now. Dan, how are you? Thanks for the call.
I'm doing well. How are you?
We're pretty good, dude.
Very well. Yeah. Things are cooking right now for the Commanders. But I will say, as high as we are on Daniels, as excited as we are, seeing someone in a quarterback ranking put him number one, even for us, we're surprised by at this point. Why do you rank him as the best quarterback in the NFL so far?
So it kind of goes into what these rankings are at the moment. So half of it is kind of me looking at who these quarterbacks are and trying to figure that out in a vacuum. And then the other half of the scale is we're looking at expected points added and success rate. So looking at their actual production this year. And then putting those together is kind of what makes the final grading scale of what we're putting out into these rankings. And right now, you know, Jaden Daniels is playing really well. So he's doing pretty well in that skill score where, like, I am looking at specific factors. And then by, like, EPA and success rate right now, he's kind of leaps and bounds above everybody else. So that does give him quite a boost into what we're putting together as this final score. So that is why right now he is number one based on the production that he's had so far this year.
Okay, so Dan, I'm trying to quantify this for myself. And again, I'm so pleased. This is not a criticism. I'm just trying to figure all this out, man. Just a few decades of getting punched right in the nose every time I started to believe for a microsecond has me a little bit reticent. But I by way of example, a few years ago, Chase Young was here, and he won Defensive Rookie of the Year. He had a good season, but in years where there were really good standout defensive rookies, he wouldn't have won it, but he was the best in that given year. How much of this is contextual for we're not seeing Pat Mahomes do his normal 50-touchdown, 5,000-yard thing? There's no Drew Brees. There's no, Justin Herbert isn't in a throw-first offense. How much of this is we're not seeing the unbelievable quarterback totals around the league, and how much of this is do you realize how special Jaden Daniels is?
Yeah, I would say, like, to be fair, it's probably a little bit of both when you kind of look at some of the production league-wide. I know when you went through, like, the first 2 weeks, there was this whole thing about, you know, passing is completely broken and no one can pass the ball anymore. That's not really true. You know, you have guys like, you know, Lamar Jackson, even Josh Allen, still producing pretty well. You do have, you know, Patrick Mahomes, who you would expect to be at the top of the efficiency ranks every year because, like, I think in a vacuum, he is still the best quarterback in the league. And when you kind of look at what I have for like their skill set rankings, I still have Mahomes as number one, but the Chiefs are just kind of, you know, feeling their way through the start of the season. So there is some of that where we don't have crazy production from some of these other quarterbacks, and Daniels does have a significant gap there, but it is a reason of why Daniels is there is because he is playing incredibly well. And I think the really cool thing about him is there's a layer getting kind of released and unveiled kind of every week where there's just another element to his game that's getting added. And I think that's been the really cool thing to watch with him. You know, the beginning of the year was whenever he left the pocket, he was scrambling. There were no throws on the run. Now he's more comfortable doing that. We're seeing some explosive plays come off when he's getting out of the pocket. You look at what he did last week. Baltimore wanted to keep him in the pocket. He had his lowest scramble rate of the season last week, and he was still able to do things and manage the pocket and continue having a effective passing offense that way. So every week, I think we're just seeing Jaden Daniels grow right now, and there haven't been any like back-breaking mistakes, which is very cool when you see there's no huge low side here, and the ceiling just keeps getting higher.
Ranking has Daniels number one for the 33rd team. Dan Pizzuta joins us now on G&D to go over, you know, not only some of those rankings, but also where Daniels sits atop the perch. Specific to his strengths and, like, the areas where analytically he's been so good, what stands out to you? You've studied this for a long time. You know what's normal and what isn't for a young quarterback. How's he doing it?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where it's so much of his legs have definitely been such a big part of what he's able to do right now. And in the beginning of the season, that was just moving the ball forward in a way that just when passing options weren't there, and we kind of saw the first 2 weeks was a very, you know, stagnant type of condensed offense with some of the shorter passes, the legs were the explosive plays. But now he's using that as a way he can get out of the pocket and then create throws down the field. So that is something. And there is just, when he is, you know, getting sacked, usually sacks are something that completely derails drives. You look at like points per drive on drives that don't have any sacks and drives that have at least one sack, there is a significant decline right now. For Washington, because Daniels just kind of has this innate ability to get into some open field, knows when to run right now, Washington has about the same rate of points per drive this year as when he's getting sacked and when he's not. When you can kind of lift the floor in that way of what Daniels is doing with his legs, and then, like I said, every week we've just kind of seen his passing game open up a little more with something new that we've seen. I think it is just kind of really special. It's just kind of the linear development we have been seeing.
Dan, anything not sustainable about what Jaden Daniels is doing and has done so far?
I mean, to an extent, like we're eventually going to see a bad game. I'm like sure of it because we just do see that. Like we haven't seen that to his to this point so far. So when, like, something really goes wrong, we haven't seen it. Like, we haven't seen them have to, you know, really trail and have him be, like, a pure drop-back passer in a sense where the defense knows he has to drop back. You know, like I said, Baltimore did kind of try to keep him in the pocket, but that wasn't in a way where, you know, they were able to kind of tee off on him, and we see some of that. So, you know, maybe that is an area where you know, we see that he's not able to completely, you know, pull some magic out of his hat every week. But in terms of just kind of the down-to-down success they're having right now, like, it's not something where he is just pulling out these big plays and that's all they're working on. He's fifth in success rate right now. To be fifth in success rate, first in EPA per play, like, they are just, I think they have a lot of right answers right now. And it's a lot of, there are options where he is continually making the right decision. And that is really one of the cool things to look at kind of going forward, where, you know, he doesn't look overwhelmed. I think things have been slowing down and he's not really putting the ball into a dangerous spot really at any point. I think that's what is, you can be optimistic that that's sustainable because he is making a lot of good decisions when he's playing quarterback.
How much credit should Cliff Kingsbury get for what he's doing? There's no doubt that Daniels is a bigger piece to the pie with the legs and some of the stuff he's doing off schedule. But, I mean, he is, I think, one of the top throwers in the league at throwing to the first read. And his EPA to first read, I think, is number one, which tells you that Kingsbury's given him some easy answers, too.
Yeah, I think he deserves a lot of credit. And I was someone who really liked Cliff when he first came into the league in Arizona. I thought he was doing some really good things. The problem with what he eventually did in Arizona was, you know, we had some really good ideas at the beginning of the year, and then things would kind of get stale. He would come up with some good adjustments, and then those were just kind of the adjustments for the rest of the season, and it didn't work quite as well. And then when I kind of saw the first 2 weeks of this offense, where it was, you know, very condensed, it was all the screens and slants and things like that, I was a little hesitant and a little worried that we might just kind of see a repeat of Arizona. But there was clearly a method to that madness, where each week they just kind of expanded what they were trying to do on offense. And I think that's really helped. I think they do have a lot of good route concepts. I think there is a trust with Terry McLaurin right now, where I think we've seen a couple of things from, you know, when the NFL shows suffer, or just from interviews that those two have had, they're talking about adjustments to plays they are going to make, like, in the game, and then Cliff will, you know, be in on that. And so I think the way they are able to adjust in game too has been, you know, really, really special. I think, you know, Cliff has been a big part of that. And then to add the running game, which Cliff has always been very good with, even back in Arizona, to have that be one of the most, you know, efficient run games in the league definitely does make it easier on a rookie quarterback. So there's, I think, a lot of just really good, you know, things in play right now, which is why, you know, this Washington offense is really humming at this point.
This is great, Dan. Really appreciate it, man. Thanks for the time. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you, too.
Check out Dan's work, the 33rd team. We're Grant and Danny live out in Leesburg. We are hanging out today on our Friday field trip on a football Friday from Spanky's Shenanigans. I want to take a look at some of the other top matchups in the NFL this weekend, and then our big predictions for the Commanders and the Panthers. We'll give you the score, the MVP. We'll get inside the numbers for how we see Sunday playing out. Taking you up to 6:30 on The Fan.
Oh, it's a Friday field trip. Don't you dare call it a field trip Friday. Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan, live from Spanky's Shenanigans in Leesburg. It is a packed house out back. The weather's gorgeous. I've eaten my weight in shrimp. It is a fantastic spot, fantastic Friday. Thanks for joining us. Hanging out with us as we get ready for the weekend. Washington getting ready to take on the Carolina Panthers. They're 8.5-point favorites at home. One of the biggest favorites of the weekend. There are a couple big spreads as you look around the NFL. A couple matchups between the halves and teams that are likely to come in second. Look at Bills Titans. The Bills at home are 8.5-point favorites. Jaguars heavy favorites over the Patriots. That's 5.5. You've got several teams that are expected to handle and take care of business. We've been kind of hitting at this and really talking about it throughout the week. And then really even talking about it today, the idea that everybody expects something. And it's not just one of those sort of empty calorie, we expect this to go this way. This is a honest-to-goodness corner turning confidence that's not that, you know, little voice in your head that's talking you out of it. So, in kind of that spirit, we're thinking about how likely it is that Washington does what it's supposed to do. They've done it a couple times in a row. When they've played inferior opponents, they have beaten the brakes off of them. They destroyed the Cleveland Browns, even after kind of a sluggish start. They were never in doubt against the Arizona Cardinals. This game, this week, they are heavily favored, correctly. They should be. It's not empty. Carolina is struggling. They're going to pick in the top five or six in all likelihood. This is not the tire fire they were the first couple weeks of the season, Grant, when Bryce Young was the quarterback. But Carolina can be had, as evidenced by their 1-5 record, as evidenced by when they went up against a decent team here recently. They got blown out by 20-some points. They are there for the taking. This is a perfect storm of a weekend. Darryl Green retirement, jersey retirement ceremony, alumni in town, a home crowd that hasn't seen them lose. There's a lot of excitement, and rightly so.
Yeah, there absolutely is. We're having a blast today, and the energy here, just talking to fans of this team, is infectious. There is an exuberance about this club. I mean, we are at, I apologize for my tardiness, line at the little boys' room territory.
Yeah, that's where we are.
In Leesburg today, with people just wanting to come out in the beautiful weather and celebrate the Commanders and the awesome fall day here as they get ready to try to get to 5-2. But let's spin you around the NFL, take a look at some of the other matchups in Week 7. We'll make our Commanders-Panthers predictions, dive into this game in better detail at the top of the hour. We're taking you up to 6:30. We will start our trip through the NFL with the London game. Danny correctly loves a 9:30 a.m. kickoff.
The worst.
There is nothing better
the worst
than a 9:30 a.m. kickoff. Can I get a quick straw poll, by the way? Just, I want you to cheer if you agree, okay? So, quick straw poll in-house. Morning football at 9:30 a.m. because there's a London game as an extra window to your Sunday with your breakfast. Okay? Never again 9:30 a.m. football.
Yay! You hear the noise? Huge noise?
It seemed like it was just you
a little bit. No, it was a big noise. You could hear it.
I think people like football all day long. We got the Patriots and the Jaguars, 2-1-5 teams. Drake May's second career start for New England. I don't know what's going on with Trevor Lawrence, but Jacksonville's bad.
They are terrible. This is a what are you going to do at some point, right? Second straight London game for the Jags. They should just move there. Or there should never be any games in London. They should play in normal windows. But for Drake May, had some good things in his first start.
Seahawks play the Falcons. This is a 1 o'clock kick in Atlanta. Seattle needs this game all the
time. They're reeling, remember? Yeah.
They won three in a row. They've lost three straight. They're now 500. The Falcons are 4-2. Their two losses are to AFC teams, so they're actually sitting pretty. If they beat Seattle, they're in a really good spot at 5-2 with some tiebreaker-friendly metrics.
Yeah, put some hay in the barn, as you said. It's an NFC game. That's why it's extra important. Seattle is going to look up all of a sudden. You know, no one in the NFC West has really taken charge of that division, so they're still very much alive. San Francisco hasn't started flying yet, so they could use a W after losing three straight.
One team that's in big, big troubles, the Tennessee Titans. They're 1-4.
Yeah.
Coming off a bye, they've got the Buffalo Bills, who are 4-2 at Orchard Park. The Bills likely to be 5-2. Remember, they just traded for a wide receiver one now. They bring over Amari Cooper to pair him with Josh Allen.
Needed it, right? And the Bills are already good. Now you add in Amari Cooper to that, and they'll probably fold him in. Tennessee, I was wrong about. I thought they'd be frisky. They are not. They are not particularly good at really anything. And Will Levis seems intent on turning it over every week.
The Bengals get the gift that is getting to play the Cleveland Browns.
It's always nice.
They are the worst team in the NFL at this moment. Deshaun Watson is broken. Their offense is unserious. And their defense is riddled with injuries. The Browns are 1-5, hosting the Bengals at 2-4. If Cincinnati can win a game that they should, they're at least going to be back into the competitive portion of their season. Like, they're in the hunt graphic again for the first time.
Yeah, and I didn't know Cincinnati's defense was going to be this horrible. They gotten off to slow starts in the past and always kind of were able to rally. But they've got a pretty soft schedule here over the next few weeks. Cleveland this week, Philadelphia is not who we thought they were, and the Raiders, you could look up and they could be 5-4.
Best game of the weekend maybe on paper. How about the Texans and the Packers, two teams representing the AFC where Houston is a contender at 5-4. 5-1. And the NFC, where the Packers are one of the better teams so far, they're 4-2 despite not having Jordan Love for a third of their season. The Packers coming off of their most impressive win of the year. They pummeled Arizona 34-13.
Great measuring stick game for both teams. Houston, we know, is good, right? They weren't playing great and were 4-1. Now they're starting to play pretty well. And Green Bay, you know, survived their time without Jordan Love. Now they're back hitting the ground running. That is a good, complete team that's been under the radar. That's a great one in Lambeau.
Here's my favorite game of the weekend. All apologies to Washington and Carolina. Lions-Vikings in the NFC North. Detroit is 4-1. It's big boy football. Ben Johnson pulled all the tricks out of the bag this past week to embarrass and annihilate the Cowboys. Minnesota had a bye. Extra rest going into a critical division game. They're trying to get to 6-0. Sam Darnold crashed back down to earth a little bit last couple of games. This is a huge spot at home for the Vikings to try to solidify themselves as legitimate contenders to win the North.
Yeah, it sounds funny. They're kind of chasing legitimacy, and they're chasing Detroit. So up is down, left is right, dogs and cats.
And they're
together.
Ahead of them in the standings.
No, but that's the point, is Minnesota's looking to validate that 5-0 start. Detroit, we think of, or at least I certainly do, is one of the contenders in the NFC, and they've played like it recently. That's a massive matchup there in Minnesota.
Couple of other games we should point out. Eagles-Giants in the division. Philadelphia's got to prove they're any good. I don't believe they are. They just barely survived the Browns last week, which should be a gimme at home. We saw what Washington did to Cleveland as an example. 3-2 Philly at 2-4 Giants. They will have Malik Nabers back. You've got Kansas City and San Francisco. I know by way of records this isn't a special matchup.
But you know.
49ers are one of the best teams in football. This is a rematch of the Super Bowl. 5-0 Chiefs. They haven't been sexy. There's no style points to that offense. They had their best game in Week 5 and then were idle in Week 6. So both of these teams now, in Kansas City's case, coming off of a bye, San Francisco's case at 3-3, still have something to prove.
Yeah, for Kansas City, I mean, this is just wait till the playoffs time. They're just getting through it, right? They've already had a couple of huge injuries that have slowed them down, and yet they're still, as you said, 5-0. It's defense and Pat Mahomes making magic. For San Francisco, they need a little bit of hay in the barn. They're kind of going through the same stuff in terms of injuries, and they're slowed, and they're maybe not the same club. But when they're all right, they're an NFC title contender, right? They could meet in the Super Bowl against Kansas City once again if it all goes their way. Both, Kansas City's just on cruise control. I think San Fran needs this one to kind of get the foot in front of the other.
Here's your best stat of the day. I saw this week. Andy Reid is 21-4 as a head coach with extra time to prepare off a bye week. 21-4 off of a bye week for Andy Reid. One last pretty good football game on paper. 4-2 Baltimore, 4-2 Tampa Bay. This feels to me like a lot like the Washington-Baltimore matchup last week. Ravens were home for that. They're now on the road at Raymond James. But it's a good NFC team that can move the football against a really good Ravens team. Winner gets to 5-2. Those are some of the best matchups around the NFL. But let's put the spotlight on the Commanders with a Commander spotlight as soon as we return. And then we'll give you our game predictions for Washington and Carolina at home. Daryl Green's jersey to be retired. Should be a raucous environment. Finally. At Northwest Stadium. That's what we've had today on our Friday field trip in Leesburg. We're at Spanky's Shenanigans on Grant and Danny.